My name's John Baker. I worked here for a period of time, and I've been asked to say a few words about it. I worked on Salford Docks from 63 till the early 70s. And like most people, I moved on when the traffic up the canal got less and less due to the revolution that happened with containerisation and the demise of the British merchant fleets. It just got less and less. I then went and left reluctantly, very sadly, and went working in the chemical industry, where I worked up until 12 months ago when I took early retirement. Early retirement, and now a gardener for a charity. 36 gardens up there. Not easy. But easier than this. Anyway, I got involved in the unlocking Salford Quays process. So seeing an advert in the evening news asking for information, and I knew I had some old photographs, and I dug them out, and you know, you never chuck things away, and it was just amazing. I mean, in all of that 40 years, and suddenly things that I'd completely forgotten started coming back. And the more and more I had to start writing it down, and the more I wrote down, the more I remembered, and it was just crazy, and it just got more and more. Anyway, I started in 73 working for the ship canal company in the dock office as an office boy, a boy runner to the ships. I just ran messages to and from their contraband. but it didn't pay much. It used to pay me £3 a week, and they took a shilling to act off me. Anyway, I tried to get on as a docker because I knew they were on pretty good money. So I applied to the Dock Labour Board, and they gave me this questionnaire to fill in. And I've never seen one like it since. Usually it says at the top of the form, your name. It said, name, members of your family who work on docks. I didn't have any. So I did a bit of scratching around, and as you'd say these days, I made a few phone calls. What I did, I went and talked to people, and I finished up miraculously with three cousins, two brother-in-laws, God's honest truth. Over here, on the other side of the canal, was called 8B, and it was an open area, and there must have been 100-150 cabins, and these were all official site offices of little firms to deal with everything you can imagine on the docks. But we had a much better advert for a firm called Cargo Superintendents Limited. They had an office in every port in the world. It's ironic, really, because it was a Swiss firm. Think about it. And our office was upstairs over the Salisbury, opposite the main gate. And I used to sneak up there. Anyway, that was another story. But what I actually did, what we did was, if a ship came in, say, arrived this morning from America with grain, and it was bound for, say, Kellogg's or CWS Sunmills, Rankovic, whatever, all the different firms. The price of the grain would be decided after it had arrived, because it could deteriorate in transit. So, say it was sent from America, the company couldn't afford to send somebody over here to make sure the sampling methods were done correctly, so they employed our firm. So every ship I worked on, I was working for a different company. I could be working for the Continental Grain Company of New York, or I could be working, if I worked for Soyuz from Export, Moscow. All different companies, and you were representing them at where the ship arrived, looking after their interests. So the samples would be taken, and they would go to the grain exchange. We would check all the ship's weights, and that would be job done, really, over the period of time that I knew to move on to the next ship. Sometimes I had two or three at once to split it around. I got involved with everything, really, like most of the people that I was involved with. In copper from South Africa, grain from North America, South America, timber from America, Scandinavia, Russia, fish meal from Iceland. Remember his smell now. And molasses from Cuba. That was before the crisis.